The next and last stop is
Atlantic Avenue, Barclays Center.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome back to the Only Nets Fans We Know podcast. I'm Peter. I'm joined by my best friend and fellow Nets fan, Charlie. What's going on?
Yo, what's up, man? Nets looking pretty good, finishing up this road trip 5-1 on the whole trip and sitting pretty at 10-4 in second in the Eastern Conference. Why don't you tell us the working title for tonight's episode, Pete?
All right, our working title tonight is Blue Collar Road Trip. And our topics tonight, we're going to be talking about the state of the team. We're going to be talking about some politics. We're going to be talking about a couple players missing in action. We're going to be talking about who was hot in the road trip, who was not hot, who was freezing cold. We're going to be talking about to this one player who I guess is the key to the winning streak and the success of this team, I guess. But I'll let you decide. And, of course, our wrap-up. All right, so we started the road trip in Detroit, 96-90, triple-double by Harden. KD had 29 points, 10 rebounds, but then also he got that flagrant two, if you remember. And I really feel like that kind of like lit a fire under the team's ass.
Yeah, Kelly Olynyk's a punk. That's what I took away from that.
Pretty much. KD put up 17 for Detroit. And then after that, we went on to the Great North, Toronto. I thought this was one of the more challenging games for the Nets. This was a real test for them. First game of a back-to-back, and they wound up pulling it out 116-103. Harden, 28 points, 8 assists, 10 rebounds. KD, 31-7-7. And in the third quarter, they just lit it up. A 35-17 third quarter sealed the deal for them. That was a pretty impressive win. Toronto's not a team to sneeze at.
No, they definitely started out pretty good this season so far. Better than expected. Nick Nurse is a hell of a coach, so you're always going to expect like a good game plan against the Nets.
Yeah, then we took the only loss of the whole road trip, 118-95 against the Bulls. Okay, the Nets were really in this game the whole time. I really feel like they could have won this game and probably should have won this game. But I could imagine just the traveling. You know, it's not just regular travel of boarding a plane. They have to go through customs. And, in the fourth quarter, it showed they took a 42-17 whipping in the fourth quarter. I would even just take this game and throw it out. DeMar DeRozan put in 28 points. Lonzo Ball had a ball. No pun intended. And nice. I don't know. I really don't even want to go over this game because I feel like it's just bullshit. But I'm biased, right?
Yeah, and they definitely had tired legs. It's definitely shown. Those late game threes just don't fall. They got super cold, like you said, in the fourth. And like you said, second night of a back-to-back against a good team. Kind of got to shake it off. But next time you see them with full rest, you got to make sure they know who's the better team. Going on to the next game against the Magic, Nets won 123-90. This is basically a schlacking, proverbial schlacking. They never trailed the whole game. The bench had 59 points. KD had 30 points. James Harden had a triple-double with 17, 11, and 11. And man, like, you expect these games. You expect these wins against weaker teams. And, I'm just glad they're not getting upstaged, I guess. But they ended up playing the Pelicans the next night, next game. They ended up coming out with this win 120-112. Now, they were up by 21 points in this game, Pete, and they were going to let this game slip. They were down by three. If it wasn't for Bruce Brown hitting a clutch three at the end of this game to tie it up, I don't think the Nets pulled this win out, and we would be, like, pulling our hair out. But a W's a W, man. You know, you take what you can get, but this – this game showed they, you know, took the Pelicans lightly, and they almost coughed this one up.
You know, I've been seeing a kind of trend with this team that there's times that they just get, like, stagnant, and they'll just go ball watching. They won't rebound. The offensive rebounding problem is still alive. And also a little note about the Pelicans game. This was the, you know, this was the Garrett Temple revenge game. He put up 17 points.
Yeah.
And Valanciunas put up 20 points. Doesn't Valanciunas always kill us?
Always.
He always kills us. These guys always kill us. These big centers. I don't get it.
These big centers with range.
I don't know, man. You want to go over the OKC game?
Yeah, so this game happened tonight as we're recording it. And pretty much, you know, other than a couple of close, you know, moments in the first quarter, that kind of pulled away with this at halftime. I think they're up 10.5. And, man, Patty Mills, you know, really came through when we needed him. 29 points. And he had, like, 9 threes, I think it was, this game.
He did. He had 9 threes.
Too shy of the Nets record. Pretty solid performance. I mean, KD's always pulling in clutch, 30-plus points. James Harden was always on triple-double watch tonight. But LaMarcus Aldridge continues to be a force for us. I mean, he's put up 16 points off the bench. He's candidate for sixth man of the year so far. But, man, Patty came in clutch, especially when Joe Harris went out with an ankle injury. And, yeah, we'll get to that a little later. But anything you want to add from the OKC game?
No, you nailed it pretty well. I just, just too many offensive rebounds and too much watching the ball and not boxing out. OKC did almost come back, if you remember. They had a couple times that they cut the lead down. They got it like to 10 or 8, and then the Nets would just go on a little run. I think Nash wanted to rest KD, and he wound up having to throw him back into the game, if you remember, later in the game. That was a little disappointing, but you know what? It's a 6-game road trip. This team is probably exhausted, and overall, I know for a fact you didn't think they were going to go 5-1. I'm shocked that they went 5-1. They really turned on the switch when they had to these last couple weeks.
They beat the teams they needed to beat, and they lost to an understandable team, like a hot team in the Bulls.
Can I talk to you about the Bulls, man? The Bulls are a fun team, and I really would not want to face them in the playoffs. They're so athletic, and they're so fast. I really feel like if there's a team that could, like, upset us, I think the Bulls could be one of them.
Especially I do think that, but if Kyrie is back, I think he just puts us over the top.
That's what I was going to say. Especially without Kyrie, that would definitely be a team that I would be very nervous about. I feel like they match up very well against us, and especially if we're going to be hurt towards the end of the year like we always are. It's not a good matchup.
It's crazy, but, you know, it's getting to the Kyrie thing. It's like you were saying before about our stagnant points in the offense where they get just stagnant. It would be perfect. One player could literally solve that problem.
I know, it's crazy, right?
It's just offensive boards, stagnant offense, and I just feel like there's some hustle plays we're not making. And that's like, well, basically, I know we're nitpicking right now, but I've seen trends in every game of this. So against the good teams, that shit's not going to fly. We're lucky we're getting our wins against the weaker teams, which is what we should be doing, but we got to have our eyes focused on the goal, and we got the Warriors coming up next, so that's going to be a tough matchup. Then we got a good young Cleveland team on a back-to-back right after that, so you'll see who Nash decides to rest these games.
We'll see. Talking about Kyrie, I guess we'll get a little political now.
Nope.
So, no pun intended.
We promise not to do this to ourselves.
So I'll admit this, I got totally faked out.
I got duped.
I totally got faked out. I thought there was a chance with Eric Adams being elected that the mandate would change or there would be some exception for Kyrie before the election. This is a quote-unquote. I think it's going to solve itself. I think we will find a way to have security and continue to keep our standards strong. And then, better yet, this is my favorite. I believe in the NBA and Kyrie, they should figure out how to deal with it, and I think it's up to them and the city to come up with a real deal. And the city.
Seems like he wants to get the city involved with the deal, make something happen where he can play.
It would seem that, like, he, you know, it would seem that there'd be some exception maybe at some point, but I don't know, we'll see. And then right after election, quote unquote, New York City is not going to change their rule. And again, it's up to the NBA and Kyrie to come to a full understanding on how to keep him on the Nets. And blah, blah, blah. We got, you know, the guy says he's a Nets fan. He loves Kyrie. And obviously he can't do, you know, any little exception for, you know, just one team or one player. But I don't know. As a Nets fan, I feel like I got duped.
That sounds like a flip-flop, my friend.
Yeah, like a typical politician move to get all the Nets fans like to vote for him. Even though, you know, if you're not familiar with New York City politics, you know, it's, he was going to win in a landslide anyway. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's stupid. It's just stupid.
We got duped. We got promised something. He went for a small group of people to try to get those extra votes in. He got the Nets fans vote. And that's it. He duped us.
Now, I don't think, I don't think he promised anything, quote unquote. But I definitely think that he was, made light of it.
Pete, he implied. He strongly implied.
That was some bullshit. That really pissed me off. Because I really was figuring in my plans, okay, man, you know, in January we'll get Kyrie back. And I can admit when I get duped. But that's just stupid shit, typical politics. Anyway, enough with that, unless you want to add anything else.
Should have voted for Sliwa. Just kidding. They both suck. On to the next topic.
Okay, our boy Claxton is still missing in action. It's not COVID. It's supposedly not mono. We don't know what's going on with Claxton. There's no information about what's going on.
Is it possible he's just out of shape and didn't get into game playing shape, and that's why he had such a slow start? And the Nets maybe wanted to keep it under wraps and to not lose his trade value, possibly.
It's very possible. If you remember, back when Jason Kidd was the head coach, we had Andre Blatch supposedly, allegedly, showed up drunk to practice, and he missed, I think, like a couple, I'm not sure if it was a week or a couple weeks, that he wasn't around the team. And that didn't get leaked out until years later. Could this be something like that? Clax is, you know, he's going to be a free agent soon. He's still a young player, and if the Nets were going to trade someone, the other teams would probably be looking at Clax as a, you know, one of the pieces coming to them, right? So it's totally in the Nets' favor to not leak anything negative about him, right?
I agree. And also, maybe he just had like a bad stomach virus or something. Who the hell knows?
For weeks?
You know, maybe Lyme's disease? Epstein-Barr?
I don't know. You know, at some point, I don't want to, like, take shots at the guy. I just hope that he's okay and he's doing well. And we also had Millsap and Sharp missing the game against
OKC.
The game against OKC tonight. So, definitely we have guys falling down very quickly. Those were personal reasons. It's very weird that both of them had personal reasons that they were out. But again, I don't want to speculate on anything. That's just very strange. And then, of course, Joe Harris got hurt today, which I had a heart attack. That's fucked, man. We always get the short end of the stick. I feel like everyone, like every team, every Nets team has had a major injury, from Jalen, Brook Lopez, you know, all the way to Deron, like. It's always something with this team and people getting hurt. Harden last year, Kyrie, like, it's always something.
Injuries happen, man. It's part of the game. You got to understand that. But same time, Joe Harris has been pretty healthy all these years and just, of course, takes a turned ankle to make a big difference in everything. But We'll see how bad it is. We'll see how it comes out tomorrow. It's obviously not looking good because, you know, if Joe can't play, you know he's really hurt because he always tries to play. He always tries to show up every night. And, man, it's going to be tough losing him if it's an extended period of time.
Yeah, I think the biggest part of this is the bench. We've seen with Harden and KD on the bench that lineup, the bench lineup, is like shit. Like, it's bad. They really cannot make their own shots. They really struggle. So having, you know, Joe taken out, who's going to replace him in the starting lineup? Patty? Like, I don't know. Who's gonna fill in for him, Charlie?
I wouldn't say put him in the starting lineup, but I think it's time to give Cam some minutes because he's kind of instant
as a starter though. Tonight.
No, not as a starter. I think you have to move a guy like Patty to the starting lineup because Patty can get hot from three. So I think he's probably our best 3-point shooter option other than Joe, right?
At this point, well, also, you know, besides KD and Harden, you know.
Do you go for a big lineup with like Aldridge and Blake and KD and Bruce Brown? Do you do something like that? Just for, like, to have LaMarcus Aldridge's offense?
Well,
then you shorten your bench up.
That's the problem. And look at this. Because Bruce Brown cannot hit a three to save his life, you need a 3-point shooter. So what are you going to do?
He had a huge three against the Pelicans. You take that slander out.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Like, what do you, like, it's rough. It's rough.
He's been pretty good this year.
But what are you going to do with the starting lineup? You can't have two guys who can't hit threes, and Blake is cold as shit. I'm still going to defend Blake, by the way.
You can't have three guys crowding the paint either.
That's the problem. We need spacing. This team revolves around spacing, driving and kicking, right? Pick and roll.
And Joe Harris helps us out perfectly there.
Exactly. So now that he's gone, what are we going to do? That's my question.
Patty Mills, Cam Thomas.
I don't know. I think there's a reason why we haven't seen Cam Thomas in yet for minutes off the bench. Because, man, I really miss Tyler Johnson, man. Not that I would want him to start. But off the bench, he would have been perfect on this team, I feel like.
Inconsistent.
Oh, come on. He knocked down a good three. I would trust Tyler Johnson on this team. I think I would love if they could pick him back up.
He was consistent, but he also, you know, is always in a small sample size. You don't know what you're going to get with a bigger sample size than him, you know?
I think he's a good enough track record, but listen, that's just me. Okay, on the road trip, Charlie, we got some players that are scorching hot. As you know, our MVP, KD, he's averaged, this is obviously coming in tonight's game, 31 points. 52% from three, 8 rebounds, 5 assists on the road trip. Totally insane.
He's a monster.
What did Harden put up?
Harden put up 22 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, 44% from three. So his 3-point numbers are coming up slowly but surely. Man.
He's back.
I think he's starting to round out the form. I wouldn't say he's fully back.
He's back.
He's starting to feel it. As a team, they're coming into today's game, they're 43% from three. So a lot of those cold shooting nights definitely started to pick up a little more. But Joe Harris was the other night, I think it was 6-for-8 or something like that from three. I think it was it the Pelicans game. He was just shooting lights off the ball. But who's not Pete? I just want to, you know, we got to balance it out.
Well, talking about Harris, he was shooting, this is why it hurts. He was shooting 57% from three.
Yep.
50 on the road trip. 57%. The guy was, you know, working his way back. And Aldridge, I want to say one thing about Aldridge. Aldridge.
Can't forget about him.
66% from three. In 21 minutes of action, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. In 21 minutes. That is ridiculous.
Crazy efficient.
That is ridiculous.
He's so key to us off the bench as like an offensive force to steady a heavily defensive lineup. Like that lineup we have, our second unit is Bendry, Carter. These guys are dogs on defense. I mean, you don't know what you're gonna get from offensively. Although Bendry, I will say, has shown flashes of you know, some resemblance of an offense. Carter, on the other hand, we'll get up to him in the cold section, but, you know, I'll just lead him with Carter then. Fuck it, because he's been pretty bad. He's only shot 35% from the field, just taking really crazy four shots. Feels like his IQ is pretty low. And, man, it's like these are guys, you know, I expect him to hit occasional threes, and he's starting to come around a little bit. But, man, he just seems to be off, man. I don't know what's up with him.
I saw a good tweet about Carter online. The guy hits 1 3, and then he tries to become Ray Allen. Did you see how many pull-up threes he had today, like, that he missed?
Like 4 or 5.
I felt at least 3. I saw at least 3. And I was just, shaking my head every time.
He shoots his shot, that's for sure.
And I guess now this is kind of like a past topic, I guess you could say. But the NBA refs and this new rule, like, it's just, there's no consistency when fouls are being called now. Like, we saw Harden struggle with it, and a couple of the Nets struggle with it. And we've seen Lillard struggle with it. We've seen a couple of, like, you know, high-profile players struggle with it. And I think...
Trae Young, Tatum, Luka.
Yeah, there's just no consistency. Like, I don't get it. And obviously Harden is, like, the poster boy of it. And it's just, I don't know, it's just wild to me. It's not their fault, but it's fucking ridiculous.
I think it's more of, like, not knowing what's a foul and what's not a foul is probably the biggest thing. It's just the consistency of, like, even the refs don't know what to call anymore. There's some egregious calls. Like, I've seen Harden literally get smacked in the face going to a drive and not get called.
Yeah, like, we would get mugged and there'd be no call. It'd be ridiculous. I don't know.
It's tough to criticize it because it's nothing you can do about it, so... Just complain.
I complain about it. I hope that they go back to the rules pre this year, to be honest.
And change the balls.
That's not gonna happen.
They changed it from Spalding to Wilson, so maybe that why it explains a...
That's why.
33% drop over the first couple of games. Players were just... I mean, they're only shooting 33 from three-point for the first 5 games, and... Other teams shot 32%, so I think the change in the ball from Spalding to Wilson had a lot to do with it. Now it meant maybe for Joe Harris and Lillard and all these other shooters who aren't shooting well.
Well,
for Kevin Durant, looks like he didn't even miss one step. Looks like he's it doesn't matter to him. You can get him like a rock and he'll put it in through it, like a big boulder or something. He'll just throw it through. So it just doesn't matter what you give him to shoot, he'll get it in.
Well, it was interesting you say that because J.J. Redick was actually lucky enough to be one of the testers. He was given the Wilson ball before the rest of the league. And they asked him, like, how do you feel about the ball, blah, blah, blah. And he hated it. He crushed that ball on his podcast, the old man in the three. Crushed it. He hated that ball. And, you know, we see the players go... in the Olympics, in international play, and they struggle when it comes to the new ball. So I think that's could be a solid point, but I think everyone's kind of used to it by now.
Yeah, everyone except Melo and Kevin Durant, basically.
I don't know, man. So we have a weird key to this team. As everybody knows, you know, we struggled the first couple of games of the year. And Nets Twitter, Nets Reddit, whatever, Nets fandom, all called for this guy to be put back into the starting lineup. And the Nets are now 9-3 with Bruce Brown in the starting lineup. I don't know what he does. He's only averaging... It's 8 points a game about, a little over 8 points a game. 3.5 rebounds, a steal, in 29 minutes as a starter. He's hitting 50% from the field. We know that three-point shooting isn't the best, but as you said, he had that clutch three the other day. He's the glue guy that puts everything together.
Plays very good defense, man defense. Knows how to cut at the right time and is very good in the high pick and roll. He's very good at cutting and finding the seam and getting the right angle at the basket.
He's getting blocked more this year, though. Teams are looking for it now.
People are more privy to that now. They're looking for it. They're respecting it. But he still gets his fair share, especially when Harden's on his game. Basically, the key to him having success is Harden being able to penetrate. So I think him and Harden have a very good chemistry built from last year. And they kind of have an idea of what each other's doing. So it works. And it's been working. And like I said, defense is his probably bread and butter. And he works very hard, and he's a good grinder. So, you know, getting him in the starting lineup, we've been saying it for a long time. Nets need defense, and this guy is basically instant defense. Him, Bembry, Carter, these guys are great defenders. So basically, you see a drop in offense, possibly from, you know, going from shooters like Shamet and Jeff Green and Tyler Johnson. Now you're getting defensive-minded guys like Carter, Brown, Bembry, Millsap, Aldridge. Even though Aldridge is very good on offense, but you know what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying, and it's interesting. You know, we were talking off the podcast that you'd never thought you'd see the Nets, well, this Nets team in particular, be a team that would be top 10 in defense and, you know, be less than top 5 on offense. It's really remarkable. Just the Nets are just very lucky to have such a great staff of, like, pretty much head coaches, right? We got John Vaughn, we got Steve Clifford, we had D'Antoni.
Vanderpool.
Like, Vanderpool could be a head coach, according to Lillard.
Like Kyle Korver.
Korver. Kyle Korver's not retired. Yo, imagine Kyle Korver's not retired, so he takes Harris's spot while he's hurt.
It'd be funny. He puts a copy machine as his last name on his back.
You know what's interesting, Gig? What do you do if you're JJ Redick, right? And we know that Harris is out for a while, and you could jump right into the starting lineup. Like, I know you're retired, I know. But would that interest you? It would interest me, but I know he's not gonna. You know, he's not going to come back. I want him to come back because I've been rooting for him to join the Nets for years now.
Maybe it'll interest Kyrie Irving into coming back.
Ooh, shots fired.
That's not happening.
Shots fired. Kyrie might have played his last game as a Net, which is really frustrating. It's very upsetting because I've been wanting to see Kyrie win a championship with us. And we have a chance to actually do that now, and it looks like it's gonna go all to shit. But
because of politics.
Because of COVID. I fucking hate COVID.
COVID and politics.
Anyway, let's get to our wrap up. We're gonna start with our blue collar boys. The history of the blue collar boys started with Blake and Joe. From that point on, we had Patty joining. He put in an application. And now KD, he took a charge the other, if you watch The Bridge, a new episode came out, and they talked about it a little bit, how Patty joined, and then KD took a charge about it like 2 weeks ago, and he officially was accepted in, quote unquote. I love it. I love the whole, you know, blue collar atmosphere, the hustle, the Brooklyn, quote unquote, grit. I love it.
I like the celebration, the hard hat and the boots. Like
that. I like the boots and the hat. I like that.
Yeah, man, it's definitely a good mentality to have. Definitely just doing the dirty work. Do whatever you gotta do to make sure we win the game. And definitely on the win streak and sitting pretty at 10-4. So, you know, one thing we need to talk about, though.
I want to say one thing about these blue-collar boys. If they wind up getting KD hurt because he took a charge, I will be pissed.
I don't know. His shoulder's not looking too good, man. He keeps grabbing at it. Doesn't seem to be affecting his play at all, but, man, I don't know. I hope it's nothing serious. We really can't afford to lose him. That goes without saying, obviously.
This is looking like one of these injuries that, like, he plays with it, and then, like, a year from now or, like, in the offseason, we find out that it was, like, a serious injury, and he was still putting up, like, MVP-type numbers.
It's probably like a torn labrum or rotator cuff.
Bro, don't shut up. Don't even put that in the atmosphere with this fucking team, because it will happen. It will happen.
He's got to be out for the Warrior-Cleveland game, right? There's no way he plays back-to-back again.
No, no, he needs to take a day off soon. He's definitely due.
They probably play KD on the Warriors game and play hard in the next game. They got to give these guys some rest.
But wait, Harris is out now. So can you afford to have these guys take a break?
Let the Cam Thomas show begin.
So yeah, I'm going to switch things up a little bit now. And I want to ask your opinion. The City Edition jersey came out. The court came out. They played a game against the Hawks. A lot of NJ nostalgia. I loved everything. And by the time this podcast comes out, these jerseys will be on sale. And hopefully I will be owning one very soon.
You're going to get a Kessler Edwards jersey?
Yep, of course. I got to get highest player.
Or David Duke Jr.
David Duke Jr. for sure.
Yeah. Those are going to be winners. But I love it. I like the court. Love the color of the court and the jerseys on the court. Still not 100% sold in the jersey yet, but seeing it mixed with the court, I'm kind of selling on that. I'm buying high and selling low. Or opposite. Doesn't matter. Something like that. Whatever, you know what I mean. But I'm definitely interested in acquiring one of these set jerseys. Be nice to have the dunks with them, but they'll sold out almost immediately.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that my girlfriend surprises me for Christmas or something, but who knows? We'll see how that goes. But I wanted to say one thing about the court that irked me. I really wanted to see the Shield at center court and not Nets. That is nitpicking, and I didn't like the stars on the jersey.
Still think they should have put a Swamp Dragon Knight in there, but they're not going to do that. And I'll keep bringing it up every episode until they do.
I know. They used to have the copyright for it. They gave it up. So, unfortunately, well, actually, fortunately, you can make your own now. There's no copyright.
The Swamp Dragon podcast.
The Swamp Dragon boys. The only Swamp Dragon fans you know.
the only Swamp Dragons you know.
All right, man, let's wrap this up. You got anything else you want to throw in there, Charlie?
No, I was pretty much finished at Swamp Dragons.
Yeah, I feel like I'm missing something. If not, then we'll see you next episode. We'll talk about that. Have a great commute. Have a great day. Have a great night. Be safe out here. Follow us on the Twitters at OnlyNetsFansPod. Follow us on IG, The Only Net Fans You Know. And please rate us on Apple. We need all the help that we could get. And let's go.
Curry, please get back.